إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's a pleasure always to welcome all of you in our classes here at Masjid At-Tawheed. Tonight we continue our classes in Al-Aqidah min sharhi thalathat al-usul, from the explanation of the three fundamental principles. Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And we're still dealing with the section in which Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala talked about the pillars of Iman, and that the pillars of Iman is to believe in Allah and His angels, His books that He has revealed, and His messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and the last day. And that's where we are at now. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about thamarat, the iman bil yawm al-akhir. Believing in the last day produces fruits for the believer, for the Muslims. So that's what the reality of studying the deen of Allah. We're studying the religion so that we can get the benefits, so that we can understand it correctly and implement it in our lives. And if we do so, we will. And it's guaranteed for us to see changes in our lives for the good and for the better. Yet the greatest reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Gardens of paradise that Allah has prepared for the pious, for the righteous, for the good doers, for the believing slaves among His servants. Those who are obedient to Him and obedient to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to believe in the last day is one of the pillars of our Iman. We mentioned the definition of it. What does it mean to believe in the last day? What is the last day? And also things that you believe, that you have to understand, that go along with having believed in the last day. Death is associated with the last day, that you will die. The grave is associated with the last day. Likewise, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accounting and the like, that's part of the last day. The Jannah and the Hellfire. People will be rewarded for their goods, while other people will be punished for their negligence, for their disobedience, for their wrong doors, out of justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله وللإيمان باليوم الآخر ثمرات جليلة منها إيمان in the last day, having belief in the last day, produces very great fruits from them. Number one, الرغبة في فعل الطاعة والحرص عليها رجاء لثواب ذلك اليوم. Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala brings one of the many fruits, great fruits of having believed in the last day. Why? But what you gain from having believed in the last day? Number one, the desire to do acts of obedience. Those who believe in the last day, because there are people who do not believe in the last day. They're like, listen man, once he or she died, that's it, I'm nothing else. That's why you find those who have this aqidah, they don't care about their actions. They're like, listen, as long as I don't get caught by the police, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with my plan. That's all. Some of them, they get used to the prison. Especially the prisons in some places. When they have their own bed, they eat three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they get, benefits. You get sick. Some even they make money. In some jails they have everything they want. You've been smuggled for them. Unlike some jails in some other corners on the earth, Allahu Akbar. If a person go there one day, that's it. He never want to go back. Unlike other jails, people, they come out and then they want to go back. They want to do something bad to go back. May Allah save us, Ameen, from those places. So what is the benefit now? One of the great benefits and fruits of having Iman in the last day, the desire to do acts of obedience. Keenness upon that and to have hope for reward for them on that day. Now, because as a Muslims, we believe that after we die, we're going to stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyam. For what? For accounting. Not to go straight to the Jannah. Some people will end up in the Jannah. May Allah make us and you from the Ameen. While others will be punished because of what they did. Not because of their skin color or their race. No. Or who they are or their gender. No. Because of what they did. Retribution to their actions. So we believe that we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah is the just, is Al-Kareem, is Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, Al-Mannan, Al-Adl. And that Allah reward the good doers, those who are obedient to Him in this life, Allah reward them the Jannah. So we want to be obedient so that we can get that reward on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And we, whenever we see ourselves being guided by Allah to do any righteous act, we want to guard it, safeguard it, protect it. We want to continue upon that path of good. And anything or anyone that may get you out of that path of good, you get to go first. That's one of the first fruits of believing in the last day, to prepare for it. Number two, الرَّهْبَةُ عِنْدَ فِعْلِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَالرِّضَى بِهَا خَوْفًا مِنْ عِقَابِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Look at the benefits of having belief. Not just to hear about, oh, last day. No, having true iman in the last day. You study this issue thoroughly. Understand it correctly. You have a sound understanding of it. It will get you these second benefits that go along with the first one. What is the second benefit? Fear of committing sins. Because we're human. We have desires, temptations. We live in a crazy world. Shaitan beautified things for us. Things we know that's haram, but hey, at that moment, like, we look at them like, no, that's okay. Some they look at them like, man, yeah, it's haram, but hey, if I do it once more, it's okay, man. Inshallah, when I grow up, I repent. All of these needless excuses. But having good iman, or having iman actually, in the last day will help us to fight our desires. To go through temptations. And to fight and reject the invitation of the shaitan. Doesn't matter how hard he worked for that and beautified for them, for us. Then we're going to reject anything that comes from the shaitan way. Anything that comes his way. Is a no-no for us. Iman. Because you know you're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing's going to help you. No excuses. Nothing. Now you fear of committing. You fear committing sins. And fear of being pleased with sins. For fear of receiving punishment on that day. See? That's how it is. If we truly believe in the last day, Not just we know of it, we heard of it in a khutbah or a class. Now if we really believe this is something become a reality in our lives. It's like you pay rent, right? Is it just something like somebody tell you, oh, okay, Abdul Majid, you pay rent. Is it so? No, it's reality. How it become a reality for you, Akhi Abdullah, or Hassan, or Muhammad, or Bilal, or Talha? How it become a reality? Because you're the one that paying it every month. Right or wrong? You're the one that is always in your mind, not just the first of the month. It's on your mind every day. You see something now, you know your rent is $1,000 a month, for instance, as an example. And you see something that costs $300. You really want it, right? Beautiful thing. You want it so bad. But then you have only... Actually, at that moment, you already have $800. You're already short what? 200 of what? Of a reality. Of something that you have to do in the end. And you have only a couple of days. Are you going to go and spend 300 out of 800? To get that whatever it is? No. This reality says, no man, that's going to wait. Yes, I want it so bad. Somebody, my friend of yours, family member, get it man, it's only 300. It used to be 750. 300, okay, come on, get it. If you're responsible, and you care about the shelter of your children, and your wife, maybe your mother live with you too, and your father and your grandmother live with you. If you really care about your children, and you don't want them to end up in the street, would you go buy the iPhone? Would you? Huh? No, you don't. You're going to say to whoever trying to sell it to you, now listen, I know it's a good deal, but not for me, not today. Because you only need to get $200 to make it for rent. You want to try to get yourself out of the hole, not to be stubborn and make it deeper. Now, it's likewise. You take the hereafter seriously. You take the Jannah and the hellfire seriously. Now you're a human, yes. You see something in the street, your nafs said, go for it. Get it. It's you, man. Look, it's looking at you. It wants you bad. Get it. But then this class hit you, come to your mind and say, come on, man, get what? A desire for a couple of moments? And then it get me in trouble in front of Allah? No, no, no. That's not me. And that's the benefits. So the first benefits, because you know that Allah rewards the good doors, the obedient ones. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah prepared for them jannat, gardens, beautiful women. Rivers, man, rivers of wine. Talking about you want to smuggle something over here and drink something they're going to like make you throw up and get you sick and get you headache. No, talking about rivers of wine. Doesn't make you sick or nothing. In the Jannah. And it's halal, and it's halal. Rivers of honey and wine. Beautiful women. And many, many things. Man, you living in your place in the Jannah, the walls made out of gold and crystal. The dirt is musk. SubhanAllah. Now, thinking about that. I want you, if we, all of us, we should do this. If we really love the dunya like that and we want to drive into some very rich neighborhood and see those big houses that have big yards and trees and big beautiful windows. Just a window costs maybe $15,000. And then yeah, you say, SubhanAllah, man, I would love to be there. But then something will come and tell you, the Jannah is way better, man. There is not even a no comparison. All I have to do is to die upon Tawheed. Die upon obedience to Allah, and it will get better than these houses. See? You may work hard all your life, you never get a place like that. But you work according to your abilities. Allah doesn't put no burden on any one of us. And you be obedient and fight your desires, your whims, stay away from sins, and if you fall into them, as a human being, do repent to Allah. If you die upon that, you get what? Better than the earth, ya akhi. And what's in it? Not just a house in some neighborhood. The third benefit from that we gain, and the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah, brought from believing in the last day, تسلية المؤمن عما يفوته من الدنيا بما يرجوه من نعيم الآخرة وتوابها. That's exactly what I was talking about. Cancellation. When you have believe in the day, the last day, and what Allah has prepared for the believers and the obedient ones in the last day, that's a cancellation for the believer of whatever worldly things he has missed. And this word, you're going to help me saying it, what is it? S-O-L-A-C-E. Solace. And solace in the bliss and reward of the hereafter that he or she hopes for. The Salaf, our noble, righteous Salaf, the ulama of the past, Sahaba, the Tabi'een, Tabi' al-Tabi'een, when they used to see something in this dunya they really like, but they cannot get it, what they say? There is better in the Jannah, inshallah. No, there is better in the Jannah. But there are people that come way after them, they want something and they don't care. They want it yesterday. Halal, haram, doesn't matter. They don't even think. That's not even a fact at that moment for them. They want it so bad, they go and do it in a haram way. And then they get stuck with the evil, the aftermath, the consequences, the bitterness of that. It looks so sweet. But after they've done it, man, subhanAllah. So whatever in this dunya is gone. You look, you see people driving better cars than you do. Or maybe you're not even have a car. You never had one. So what? The Jannah is better. You see people having children. You didn't have children. MashaAllah. In the Jannah you will get whatever you want. You see people having money and this and going for vacations. They don't even worry about money. You worry about every dime. You're like, your children say, Father, can we get some shrimp today? He says, shrimp? Let me pay the rent first. Yes, I get you shrimp one day, son. Don't worry about it. I get you some lobster one day. I promise. But when? I don't know. But let us pay the bill. Let us pay the electric because it's hot. It's the winter. We need the heat. So you have to worry about that. Okay, but on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if you die upon Tawheed, what? No worries. Hakuna matata. That's what it means in Swahili. Huh? Worry free. That's it. You know, right, Mahmoud? That's what it means? Correct me. Arakallahu fi. No worries in the Jannah. Now here, who you want? You want it the other way? You want the table to turn around? Don't worry in this dunya. Allah give you whatever you want. All the luxury, and then you worry about it in Yawm al-Qiyamah? No, we don't want to worry in Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah make it easy for us in both places, I mean. We're not asking for hardship. Always ask for safety and for afiyah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. We do not ask for hardship. Oh, Allah, test me, give me everything. No, don't. We can't take it. Remember when you got toothache, what happened? You cry. Now don't ask, oh Allah, just give me all the hardship, oh Allah, test me. Lala, ask Allah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for good. Ask Allah for ease. But if anything of hardship come your way, take it with patience, perseverance. Thank Allah for it. Because if you do that, alhamdulillah, the reward is greater than Yawm al-Qiyamah. So anything that you pass you by, man, from this dunya, if you have firm belief in the last day, you know that Allah has prepared for the obedient believers way more than what did this dunya. This dunya is nothing. It's nothing. People drool after it, man. Run after it, but ain't nothing compared to small place in the Jannah. So who repeat these three benefits? Number one, nah. What is the first benefit, Na'am, of believing in the last day, having believed in the last day?
Desire to do the righteous deed and the acts of obedience.
Ahsans. Na'am, you believe in the last day and you believe in what Allah has prepared and you want to be from the good and successful, then what are you going to do? You're going to do good deeds. Or as our brother Hafidh mentioned, you're going to do righteous deeds and increase from doing righteous deeds. Make mujahada. You fight yourself. Yes, you want to go to sleep. I say, no, man, it's time for fajr. I am not time for sleep. I'm going to do something that get me to the house or to the Jannah. You see orphans. You see the needy. People need. You're going to give them some. Now you want to buy another jacket? You have only five of them. I said, no, this $55, I'm going to put it in the hand of an orphan. The hand of a widow. See? And this is why you prepare and you build for yourself in the hereafter. Now, number two, ya ikhwan. Naam, akhi.
Fear of committing sin.
Ahsant. Fear of committing sin. Why? Ahsant, Barak, because you fear of the punishment in the last day. Naam, jazakallah khair. Number three. Naam, Ayub. No questions. Give me the third benefit and then we see if we have questions. Naam, Mahmoud. Ahsant. Give you consolation. We're human. We want to live better. We want better jobs. Somebody who's making $10 an hour, of course, if somebody comes, Akhi, how much you make? 10. You want to quit? I got $30 for you an hour. Halal. What are you going to say? No, he's going to say, Bismillah. Allahu Akbar. We're going to start. It's because it's better. It's not like you're making $10 and somebody comes, Akhi, quit this job. I got $7 for you. $7 an hour. He said, nah. So whatever you miss in this dunya, houses, money, position, whatever it is, Jannah is better. You just have to do the things that lead you to Jannah. Naam, Ayyub, you want
to
say something?
To
ah, you want to add? Okay, fadda.
Fear of being pleased with sin.
Ahsant. Naam. Fearing sins and fearing also being pleased with them. Why? Because when the people are pleased with sins, that makes it easy for them to commit sins. We should hate sins. Why we should hate sins, Ayyub?
Because it takes us in the disobedience of Allah.
Okay. Ayna'am, what else?
According to the hadith of Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
why he
is happy
with it or laughing, or
he is crying. That's not a hadith. That's a statement of one of the great Salaf. I remember reading it as one of the hikam, one of the statements of the great scholars. Allahu a'lam if it's a hadith. Nah, me personally, that's what I read. What else? Sins are?
A person getting in the habit of committing sins, they couldn't open the door to them being a fasik.
Aina, sins. What else? Sins are hated to who? To Allah. To Allah. Allah doesn't like sins. And we should like what Allah likes and hate what Allah hates. And remember we said it earlier that the sins leads to the hellfire, to destruction. While obedience leads to the Jannah. Naam. قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى وقد أنكر الكافرون البعث بعد الموت زاعمين أن ذلك غير ممكن. Then he says after he brings these fruits, he says, but with this, the unbelievers deny the resurrection after death, claiming that it is not possible. Them, according to their intellect, they say it's impossible. وهذا الزعم باطل دل على بطلانه الشرع والحس والعقل. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه تعالى, he says, this claim of theirs is futile, and its futility is proven by the revelation, by what has been witnessed and experienced, and by the intellect. So the Shaykh is refuting this claim because there are people who say there is no resurrection, man. That's it. There is no life after death. Maybe you heard this before. Some people don't believe it. They say this is this life and that's it. They say, man, try to get as much as you get, because once you die, that's it, it's over. But it's not the case. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, this claim is futile. And it is refuted from three angles, from the revelation, and from experience, things that we know and we witness, and from the intellect also. And then he's going to give qala amma ash-shara. Now he give details now. As the proofs from shara. Yarhamukallah. Proofs from legislation. فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ التَّغَابُنِ آية number 7 زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ يرحمك الله قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّؤُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَتْ جَمِيعُ الْكُتُبِ السَّمَوِيَّ عَلَيْهِ. As for the revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High says, the unbelievers claim that Allah will not resurrect them after death. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, by my Lord, you will certainly be resurrected from your graves, and then you will be informed of the deeds which you did in the world, meaning this life. And that is easy for Allah. That is easy for Allah. This is the verse number 7 in the chapter 64, Surat At-Taghabun. Shaykh al-Azameen, rahmatullah, said this is also something about which all the revealed books were agreed upon. All of them. All the revealed books agreed upon the resurrection, that the people will be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَأَمَّا الْحِسْ. And as for the حِسْ, the tangible things, things that, you know, witness, being witness and experience, قَلْ فَقَدْ أَرَى اللَّهَ عِبَادَهُ. فَقَدْ أَرَى اللَّهُ عِبَادَهُ إِحْيَاءَ الْمَوْتَ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. وفي سورة البقرة خمسة أمثلة على ذلك وهي as for what has been witnessed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown His servants the dead being brought to life in this world. Allah has shown His servants the dead being brought to life in this world. Five examples of this are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. Five examples of this are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. The first example, Qawm Musa. What are these examples? Number one, Qawm Musa, right? You know the story? قَالُوا لَهُ. They said to him, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. The people of Musa said to him, they said to him, alayhi salam, we will never believe until, we'll never believe you and the message you brought to us until we see Allah openly. They want to see Allah. What happened to them? فَأَمَاتَهُمْ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. أخذتهم الصاعقة. Allah caused them to die. They died. So Allah, the Most High, caused them to die. Then He brought them back to life. Now those people, they die, and Allah brought them back to life. وفي ذلك يقول الله تعالى مخاطب بني إسرائيل وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Concerning this, Allah the Most High says, addressing the children of Israel, and remember when you said, O Musa, we will never believe you until we see Allah openly. So death seized you whilst you were looking on. Then we raise you back to life. See? Then we raise you back to life after your death so that you may give thanks. This is the two ayats, 55 and 56 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Al-Mithal Thani, the second example. Who knows another example in Surah Al-Baqarah? Na'am Mahmoud.
This man who passed by a sick or a qari which was dead.
Na'am. Ahsant. Before that?
And then Allah forced him. And then him and his.
Now, we, that story, yes, but before that there is another story.
The story of the cow.
Ahsant. Na'am. فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا أَحْسَنْتُ. The people who they kill a person, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command them to kill and slaughter a cow. Another one,
Ibrahim.
Now he asked Allah. He asked Allah, show me how you bring life from death. And then there is a story of other people who went out in. Okay. Al-Mithal al-Thani, the second example, في قصة القتيل الذي اختصم فيه بنو إسرائيل فأمرهم الله تعالى أن يذبحوا بقرة فيضربوه ببعضها ليخبرهم بمن قتله. وفي ذلك يقول الله تعالى وإن قتلتم نفسا فادارأتم فيها والله مخرج ما كنتم تكتمون فقلنا اضربوه ببعضها كذلك يحيي الله الموت ويريكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون. The second example in the story of the murdered man, a man who was murdered, concerning whom the Bani Israel disputed. A man was murdered and Bani Israel disputed about his murder. So Allah the Most High commanded them to sacrifice a cow and to strike that person with a part of it so that he would be revived and inform them of who had killed him. Okay? Who had killed that person? He will tell them who had killed him. Concerning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we'll read to you the English translation, of course, because the Quran is in Arabic language, not in any other language. And remember, O Bani Israel, when you killed a man and disputed as to the murderer. And Allah brought forth that which you hid. So we said, strike the deceased with a part of the slaughtered cow. So they struck him with it, and Allah gave life to him. Thus Allah brings the dead to life and shows you his clear signs, that you may know the truth of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he came with, and so believe in him and follow him. Al-Mithal al-Thalith, the third example in Surah Al-Baqarah, في قصة القوم الذين خرجوا من ديارهم فرارا من الموت وهم ألوف فأماتهم الله تعالى ثم أحياهم. وفي ذلك يقول الله تعالى ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. The third example occurs in the story of those who left their homes fleeing from death. There are people, they flee and they run away from death. They fled their homes, running away from death. And they were thousands in number. They were thousands. So Allah the Most High caused them to die. That what they were running away from happened to them. Allah caused them to die and then brought them to life again. Concerning them, the Most High, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 243, did you not consider, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who fled from their homes in thousands, fearing death from the plague, because it was a plague. There was a plague and they ran away from it. They didn't want to die. So Allah said to them, die. Then He subhanahu wa ta'ala restored them to life after their deaths. Indeed, Allah bestows great favor upon the people by making clear to them the way of guidance and warning them from the path of error and by bestowing great blessings upon them, yet most of the people do not give thanks. Allahumma laka shukr. Al-Mithal al-Rabi' في قصة الذي مر على قرية ميتة فاستبعد أن يحييها الله تعالى فأماته الله تعالى 100 سنة ثم أحياه. وفي ذلك يقول الله تعالى: أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها قال أنى يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله 100 عام ثم بعثه قال كم لبثت قال لبثت يوما أو بعد يوم قال بل لبثت 100 عام فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال أعلم إن الله أن الله على كل شيء قدير. The fourth example occurs in the story, and all these stories are in Surah Al-Baqarah alone. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the fourth example occurs in the story of the one who passed by a town. It was a man passed by a town. He was on his journey, passed by this town that was ruined and dead. He was ruined and dead. That man, because of his intellect and what he saw in that city, he could not imagine that Allah the Most High would give life to it. So Allah the Most High caused him to die for 100 years. That verse. Allah caused him to die for 100 years and then brought him to life after 100 years. Brought that man to life. Concerning this, Allah the Most High says, and this is the verse 259 in Surah Al-Baqarah, "For did you not consider, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who passed by a town, and it was desolate, and in ruins?" He said, the man said, "How will Allah give life to this after its death?" He was amazed because he was so ruined. Okay? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years. Then raised him to life again. He said to him, "How long have you remained dead?" That man said, "I have remained for a day, or rather part of a day." SubhanAllah. A day, who is dead for 100 years. He said, "For a day or a part of a day." He said, "Rather you have remained dead for 100 years. So look at your food and drink. They have not become spoiled through the years." Allahu Akbar. "And look at your donkey. How Allah gives life to it while you are looking on." He's looking at his donkey, Allah giving life to it. "Thus, we have made you a sign for the people, proving the resurrection. Look at the bones, how we bring them together, and then clothe them with flesh." He's seen that, this man. So, when this was clearly shown to him, he said, "I have certain knowledge that Allah is fully able to do all things." Al-Mithal al-Khamis, the fifth example, still in Surah Al-Baqarah, في قصة إبراهيم الخليل عليه السلام حين سأل الله تعالى أن يريه كيف يحيي الموتى فأمره الله تعالى أن يذبح 4 من الطير ويفرقهن أجزاء على الجبال التي حوله ثم يناديهن فتلتئم الأجزاء بعضها إلى بعض ويأتين إلى إبراهيم سعيا. وفي ذلك يقول الله تعالى: وإذ قال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعوهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. The fifth example.
Adhan?
After the Adhan, inshallah, I'll give you the translation. Now, the fifth example still in Surah Al-Baqarah is in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the chosen beloved of Allah, when he asked Allah, the Most High, to show him how he gives life to the dead. قال ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموت. He asked Allah to show him how he gives life to the dead. So Allah the Most High commanded Ibrahim to sacrifice four birds. Allah commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice four birds and to place parts of them upon the mountains around him. So he cut them into pieces and put the parts in here, parts over there, around the mountains. Then he was to call them. He was commanded by Allah to call those birds to him. And the parts joined together. And they flew quickly to Ibrahim alayhi salam. These are parts of the dead birds. Concerning this, Allah the Most High says, and this is the verse, the English translation of verse 260 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Do you not consider when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah says, do you not believe, O Ibrahim, that I have the power to do that? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Yes, I certainly believe, but I wish to increase in iman and certainty. He wants to see that, to increase in iman and certainty. Allah says, then take four birds, slaughter them, and cut them into pieces, then place a portion of each on every hill and call them. They will come in haste to you. And know that Allah is Almighty, All Wise. قال الشيخ بن عثيمين محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى فهذه أمثلة حسية واقعية تدل على إمكانية إحياء الموتى وقد سبقت الإشارة إلى ما جعله الله تعالى من آيات عيسى بن مريم من إحياء الموتى وإخراجهم من قبورهم بإذن الله تعالى. The Sheikh Radimi says these were actual visible events proving that it is possible for the dead to be raised to life. An indication of the signs given by Allah the Most High to Isa, the son of Mary, Isa ibn Maryam, has already preceded. We talked about that before in previous classes. From those signs that was given to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, from them being the giving of life to the dead by Allah's permission. يحيي الموتى بإذن الله. Being the giving of life to the dead and raising them from their graves by the permission of Allah the Most High. قال وأما دلالة العقل فمن وجهين. So the Shaykh he brought to prove he's refuting the claim of those wicked people who they deny the last day. They deny the resurrection. Shaykh is refuting them and that they are wrong in their claim. From the text from the Quran and from experienced people, these things that happen. Allah shows how He brings life, or He gives life to the dead. Certain people seen this and witnessed this. Now He says, as for the proofs of the intellect, then are from two angles. You have to look at it from two angles. أحدهما أن الله تعالى فاطر السماوات والأرض وما فيهما خالقهما ابتداء والقادر على ابتداء الخلق لا يعجز عن إعادته. قال الله تعالى وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه, سورة الروم. وقال تعالى في سورة الأنبياء كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين. وقال آمرا بالرد على من أنكر إحياء العظام وهي رميم كما في سورة ياسين قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة, لأنهم قالوا من يحيي العظام وهي رميم, قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says the first angle that Allah the Most High originated the heavens and the earth and everything contained in them. So the one who originated and created them and has the power and ability to do what to do that will not be unable to recreate them. Allah the Most High says in Surah Ar-Rum verse 27, it is He, Allah, who originates the creation, then brings it back again after it has perished, and that is even easier for Him. To restore them and to bring them back after they perish, it is easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in Surah Al-Anbiya verse 104, we shall bring the creation on the day of resurrection back to the state in which we first created them, naked, barefooted and uncircumcised. There is a promise we have given and we shall certainly carry it out. Meaning, carry out this promise to bring people to life after their death. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, commanding a rebuttal to the saying of those who deny the resurrection of the decayed bones, because they say these bones after all these years and they become dust and how they be restored. Say to the one who denies the resurrection of the decayed bones, they will be revived to life by the one who created them in the first place, when they had been nothing. Indeed, He has full knowledge of all His creation. Allah created the bones after they were nothing. It's easy for Him to restore them after what they go through. الأمر الثاني والدليل الثاني يقول الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله أن الأرض تكون ميتة هامدة ليس فيها شجرة خضراء فينزل عليها المطر فتهتز خضراء حية فيها من كل زوج بهيج والقادر على إحيائها بعد موتها قادر على إحياء الأموات. قال الله تعالى ومن آياته, هذه في سورة فصلت, ومن آياته أنك ترى الأرض خاشعة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت إن الذي أحياها لمحيي الموتى إنه على كل شيء قدير. وقال تعالى في سورة قاف ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا الشاهد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتة كذلك الخروج. وقد دل قوم من أهل الزيغ فأنكروا عذاب القبر ونعيمه زاعمين أن ذلك غير ممكن لمخالفة الواقع, قالوا فإنه لو كشف عن الميت في قبره لوجد كما كان عليه والقبر لم يتغير بسعة ولا ضيق, وهذا الزعم باطن بالشرع والحس والعقل. شيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى, he says the second matter of, as related to refuting these false claims of those who says that there is no resurrection, and from the intellect way, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, the earth becomes dead and barren and devoid of greenery, and then the rain falls and it comes to life, and we witness this. maybe some of us, if not many of us, or all of us, will witness this. Sometimes the grass is dead, nothing, mashallah. And then after rain, this will happen. And then the rain falls, and it comes to life. Sprouting green plants of all kinds. So the one able to give it life after it's been dead is the one who is able to bring the dead to life. Allah the Most High says, in Surah Fussilat verse 39, and from the signs proving Allah's ability to bring the dead to life is that you see the earth dry and dusty, devoid of plants and crops. Then when Allah sends down rain upon it, the earth swells and puts forth vegetation. Indeed, he who brought it to life will certainly bring the dead back to life. Indeed, he is fully able to do all things. So Allah gave us example. Dead land, nothing in it. Then alhamdulillah, rains fall and Allah brings it to life. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, verse number 9-11, and we sent down from the clouds water containing blessings, and with it we caused many gardens to grow, and crops of wheat and barley, and tall date palms having spades, piled one on top of the other, as sustenance for the servants. And we give life with that water to barren land. Likewise, we will be the resurrection. People dead, but they will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is able to do all things. Some of the people, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu wa ta'ala, he said, some of the people of deviation went astray and denied the punishment of the grave and its bliss, claiming that it is not possible since it is contrary to the reality we experience. They say, if you were to uncover the dead in the grave, you would find him just as he was. The grave would not have changed by becoming wider or tighter. So this claim of theirs is rendered futile by the text, experience and intellect. And that's what we're going to deal with next time, inshallah. تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا